Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
All right, y'all, take off your shirts, get your nipple clips, pull down your pants because you're about to get an edging.
Turn on some Law & Order SVU a la Captain Sandy, staring at Mariska, Cheeto fingers.
Cheeto. Like now Kalani. You see, because of Kalani, when we say Cheeto fingers, now it's a whole different
thing. This is Love is Blind season two, otherwise known as the influencer season. But it was messy as fuck.
Ironically, we're edging you because we're preparing you for season four of Love is Blind. That's dropping on Netflix on what day? March 24th. March 24th, episodes will drop the day after.
It's your own personal trash advent calendar.
Yes.
Yes.
And this, you know, we didn't like this season of Love is Blind of season two. However,
we had fun talking about it.
We talk about it probably more than any other season now.
I agree with you. A lot of them winded up on that show, Perfect Match.
But don't spoil it for people because they want to know what if they haven't watched Love is Blind and they don't know.
Okay, look, Perfect Match is everywhere.
Well, I'm just saying.
They need to fucking come out of their caves.
Maybe they don't know about Shane and Natalie and they don't know and they're wanting to.
Oh, and you may not, you know, about young Gary Busey. Who's looking for werewolves?
Y'all, it's a weird season. We go rogue, but we hope that you enjoy
Very rogue.
Very rogue. We will tell you this. Season four of Love is Blind is, I think, we've had four episodes. It's the best season of Love is Blind we've had so far.
I kind of agree with you.
It's really good. So, and
especially, who thought that Cocaine Bear was going to join the cast? Sorry, spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Netflix won't get us for that. I will say this, the after the altar, which we cover that too, but the after the altar of season two was the best after the altar.
Because it was super, super messy.
Super messy. So y'all enjoy the ride. We had a ball covering it. This was previously just on a Reality Gaze Plus, but now it's for all of you on this free feed. Enjoy our season two of Love is What, Poodle?
Blind.
All right, 90 Day. Okay, Love is Blind, take one.
Love is blind.
Love is blind.
Love is blind.
Love is blind.
It's 90 Day Gaze presenting Love is Blind.
Together again. Aren't you glad, Poodle? We're just having this whole weekend together, just talking about Love is Blind over and over and over. Aren't you happy? Admit it. You don't love me, but you love this show.
I could be doing this with John Krasinski. With his big dick face, because y'all know he got one.
Y'all, he got a big dick.
That's Emily, big dick face. Emily Blunt is lucky.
Emily Blunt needs some Mary Poppers for that one.
Sausage.
Yes, exactly. Boy, didn't think you were going to take it there. Y'all, this is Love is Blind episode 4 called Meet the Other Couples.
Terrible title. Meet the other couples.
Meet the other couples.
Even like meet every, or even like, I don't know.
Even if they call it meet and greet, like that's even dumb. But it's better than meet the other couples.
I don't think they spend a lot of time on naming their episodes.
What episode? Because we're going to do episode 5. What, that one's called Leaving Paradise. That's a little better. No panache. No panache in this. Just
bleh. No glamour. No glamour. No glamour. Mystique. No mystique. If you know, y'all, I've said it before, but if you haven't checked out Punchy Players, Judy Garland and Ann Miller at the grocery store, it's such a great video.
Such a niche reference.
It's so good, though.
But it is so good. Hey, y'all.
We're in a hurry.
We're in a hurry. If you're listening, that means that you're either you've been a member or you jumped up to our Patreon and Supercast to our Relegate
Extra. Thank you, new people. And we love you, thank old people.
Yes. Thank you so much. We, this show, I feel like there's the just, I hate that it was 2 years before we got Love is Blind, but at the same time, there's a just a wonderful nostalgia watching it again. It's like, a part of it never left, it's just so familiar. It kind of, y'all forget, Love is Blind. Didn't Love is Blind, did it happen before the pandemic?
No. Happened during.
Are you sure?
Right. Yes.
Because it was February 14th, but then the pandemic happened in March is when everything shut down.
No,
but you came back from China and we did Love is Blind, right?
It became a pandemic show though. That's what I'm saying.
It did. We watched it, but it's not associated with any of that for me. So anyway, I'm just having a great time watching it. It's a good show.
It's good. I think this season is a lot juicier.
Yes.
I can honestly say this. There's no Lauren and Cameron for me this season.
No, there's not. There's not. What for people that didn't watch second season, what do you mean by Lauren and Cameron? There's not a that. What do you mean?
There's not a couple that you need to protect at all costs that kind of fit one another and they kind of, they're perfect for one another.
Yeah, and are just so wonderful together and you love them together so much.
Right. You want to watch them together. There's not one of those this season.
There is not one of those this season.
You thought it might be Nick and Danielle for a little bit. Danielle's showing me way too many red flags.
Danielle showed her cards, y'all.
Yikes. Now, I still
abort.
I still think there's a lot of good about their relationship, but holy fuck. She's got some trauma.
She has a lot of trauma, a lot of trauma.
And so it's going to be interesting to watch that.
Can we just, who do you want? We're going to do the same thing we've done before on these. We're going to, instead of talking about how it was in order, we're going to talk about kind of the grouping and pairings. Right. We feel like that's easier.
Before we do, I don't know, maybe we can do this every episode. We can do it as the couples go. Let's just talk about it as the couples go. Mm-hmm. Do you see as anybody right now is getting there to the altar, or who's your safe bet?
I do think the safe bet is still Danielle and Nick. I think
me too.
I agree.
That's my safe bet.
Yeah, that's my
anybody safe bet. Else.
Maybe Kyle and Shane. Oh wait, she left.
I was unclear about what happened there. She literally walked. I didn't know from the last episode. She walked her fucking suitcases and she left the resort.
I only knew because I watched the 3 episodes and I had to watch episode 4 and find out. So,
boy, you yelled at me about that.
Well, because I don't.
How dare you? Boy, I'm glad.
But I don't say anything on the show. I don't say, I know what happened. I watched it. I didn't say that.
Well, anyway.
You can't help it. It was unclear that episode. But y'all, if you didn't watch it and if you're not watching the shows, we were kind of like, we said, she walks down the hallway, but she's wearing her bathrobe in episode 3.
Yeah, that was what was unclear.
Y'all, she left. And let's just talk about Kyle right now because she leaves and then They don't even start the episode with Kyle's reaction. They kind of have some other like introductory stuff. And then Kyle just says, yeah.
She wasn't really about me after the proposal.
He said, I'm here in paradise and I wish I wasn't. I wish she was here for me to change her mind. But I thought this is actually my first time I went, okay, show. This was a miss. This was a miss that we didn't see his reaction to you telling him. This is a miss. Something happened because we should see that he left because to me, Kyle said, I guess I need better communication from her because she's a horrible communicator.
I don't think he got it. I think she just left. No.
He says, but I'll grow on her. And I wrote, what the fuck is left? So, and that's my question to you, Jake. If someone left in the middle of the honey, y'all, she fucking ghosted him in Mexico and didn't even tell him. She left. Would you go out with that person again or see them ever again?
Absolutely not. But he's a puppy dog.
He really is a lovesick puppy dog, y'all. As we said before, she's gonna destroy him.
She's awful. Y'all, someone online said, I think Shayna alone is Jessica's redemption. Because now we actually see what a villain is like.
Yes, I agree. She's horrible. Horrible. Y'all, and just because we're doing two episodes tonight, and just wait till you see how she behaves in episode 5. Whoa.
Cool.
Ooh. And I think, is that it for Kyle? He doesn't really have much going on until he says,
Shayna will be madly in love with me by the end and be ready to get married. Poor dumb Kyle. I just want to slap you around or maybe slap your dick around a little.
I want to do all of that.
I want to see him shirtless.
I do too. I'm sure he's shirtless on his Instagram. Sure.
Let's start. Do you have any that just, I want to kind of be on the record. Do you have any that you're like, this is DOEA, even though they're thinking it's going to work? Do you have any that you're thinking there's no way these two people will get married?
Yeah. Mallory and Sal. No way.
I think that my biggest DOA is Jared and Ayana.
I don't know. I think the jury's still out on that one. We'll talk about it when we talk about them, but the jury's still out. I actually think in a weird way, I could see her backing out more than him.
Me too. That's what I'm saying. I don't think she'll handle the honeymoon's over phase of this well.
Because she'll start to
think about things like she was the second one proposed to.
But the thing is why I put Mallory and Sal before is, y'all, out of everybody, even more than Shayna and Kyle.
No, I totally agree with you. I think they're
Mallory
doing
right. Mallory and Sal, they have no chemistry together. She has no chemistry for him.
I think... I think she's finding a little bit, but it's not a lot. But I think they have more than Deep Tea and Shake.
Well, and boy, talk about that was a turn too.
You could see it happening though with him.
You could, but you said last episode, and it's true. You were like, when he saw her. You said he loves her so much, and I wrote the same thing, and I thought so too. And then this episode, I was like,
"You saw it because him coming back to reality." You could,
and I hadn't seen that part yet when we talked about that. So I just watched the Kyle part because I wanted to know what happened. But I said, you know, like I worried about when he got back into the world how he would be, and y'all, we don't want to be right.
Yeah.
And I love Deep Sea.
But anyway, it's interesting about Mallory and Sal, because I think Sal's the best guy on the show.
Yes, 100%.
And
100%.
I think he would be the one she would have a chance making it with. I don't think anybody else would. I think Jarrett would have been like a boy she had dated before.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think he would really, because she's looking for something else, you guys. I still say she's the most interesting person on the show for me, because she holds a lot in. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk a lot about the conversation that Jared and Mallory have at the meeting.
I will say what I do like about the casting this season. It's really hard for me to pick a most interesting person because I think a lot of them are very complex. And even the quote unquote dumb ones like stupid Shane, the way he and Natalie are in it.
Oh, I find them very interesting.
And the way Natalie has completely shifted. It's so fascinating to see that. Anyway,
I want so much more for Iana. I think so interesting, and I think she has so much to give, and I don't think Jarrett's ever going to be able to give her that.
I don't think so either. And oddly enough, is it weird that I kind of, we'll talk about it, but I don't know. I'm kind of getting sympathy for Shane.
Me too. I have it, and I hated him.
I kind of want more for Shane.
I hated him.
Natalie treats him horribly.
It's not, let me clarify. It's not that. They're just shitty at their own communication. He's not good at asking what he needs. She's trying to give him how she's treated other boyfriends, but she's trying to avoid vulnerability for herself by joking about it and being kind of mean. And that's what the guys she's dated before have been closed off and withholding. So it's okay to do that. And now that she's dating someone who's not that at all, she doesn't know how to deal with it.
Like, it's so weird. It's weird. Shane was such a kind of douche. But now that they're out in the world, Shane's kind of like, I'm trying to be all into this, all in for this. It's really weird. Anyway,
I don't know how Natalie doesn't know how to be in a relationship with someone like
that. No, no. Yeah.
And so let's talk about Sal and Mallory, or Salary, or Malvador.
Malvador.
Which I think is weird. So she's, you can tell, y'all, she is so uncomfortable with him. Yes. And she says, I'm in my head, blah, blah, blah. I'm extremely attracted to him. But she pushes off by being, she's like, I'm just really awkward in person, blah, blah, blah. And she keeps saying, it has nothing to do with you. Because, like, the worst thing, you guys, Mallory is so interested in making everyone else comfortable. Mm. And making sure she's not trying to skeeze anyone out. And Salvador says, you know, I didn't take it in perspective what you'd be thinking. And I just want you to know, this is a very safe space. You can tell me anything. And I think this is freaking Mallory out because she's never been with a man who's this understanding before.
No. No, not at all. And I
she's
wrote
been with sports douchebags.
And I wrote, I'm like, she's trying to keep it calm. But I wrote, when she sees Jarrett, she's just going to be pissed off again. Like, at our whole situation, I think it's going to really trigger her.
Right.
And we'll talk about that. But she also too, again, y'all, it's just she kind of Mallory looks at Sal to me as like the way you look at a sad puppy who's like an ugly dog.
Yeah.
Which is so weird because Sal is gorgeous, but she just looks at him kind of with this.
You know what it is? She's looking at him. It's weird because she does not want this, but part of her thinks she does. She wants the machismo kind of strong, quote unquote, not weak guy. Yeah. That's what she's always chased. That's what she's always been in relationships with. She wants an extreme alpha guy. Mm-hmm. Sal is not that. He's very soft-spoken, and he's hitting all of these sweet moments for her, but everything that she needs to kind of have her senses be flooded, he's just not giving her. And it's like almost like Deep Tea and Shake. Can you find a way that's not your normal attractiveness? Can you find a way to have a relationship?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening because you said flooded and then that took me someplace.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
But I think you were talking, but yes.
Last, they basically say this is the next day. So everyone's had like their night, their first night together, you guys.
Yeah.
And Mallory and Sal, she's like, last night was a lot of fun. And he said, he's showed me some things. And she's like, I might want to stop at the pharmacy later. So y'all, I think they fucked.
I think fucking is easier for her.
It is. Yeah.
It's way easier for her to fucking, as it is for Natalie.
It's easier for me. I got to tell you that.
But you notice, y'all, Natalie and Shane have a good sex life, like, are being able, it's easier. It's these intimate, really authentic moments that Sal brings that freak her the fuck out.
And I think he really scares her. And what's interesting is the next morning, she seems to be, after they've had physical intimacy, after they've had sex, she seems, okay, this is familiar. This I understand. Yeah, this puts me out of my head. Yeah. And you see her almost in a better place. And that's basically everything. Then we're going to talk about the couples meeting, the big luau, or the big thing. But let's go back and talk about Nick and Danielle. Danielle, I can't help but do that.
Yes.
What do you? Okay. There's something about him, and I don't know what it is. But
I'm the luckiest guy in the world, and it's a big world, but I'm the luckiest.
It's the thing is, usually with guys like this, I'm like, you're a fucking tool. You're a fucking golden retriever. I think this is him.
Yeah, I do.
I think he honestly is this kind of guy.
Yes.
To me, y'all, this is my nightmare to have a nice guy like this who is just like, I don't know. I would have left in the middle of the night if I was Danielle. But that's me.
No, that's you. Yeah. But that I don't know for Danielle. I think probably if you talk to Danielle about her history, she's dated a lot of guys who treat her like crap because that's what she tells herself how she needs to be treated.
Yeah.
Because
bad guys.
Remember, she says stuff, I don't deserve this, and we'll see. Y'all, she's going to sabotage things in this relationship.
Oh, yeah. She's just counting the minutes where she can sabotage it. Yeah.
Yes, she is. So, very much so.
Danielle says, she does say, it normally takes me months to have physical connection, but not with Nick. This felt really good. And I must say it was hot when he picked her up and threw her on the bed.
It was. It was hot.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there.
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all-black classics to fun, expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song, To All Our Queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey, our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself. Never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
So the next time we see them, you guys.
The next morning, y'all, she's sick. She got sick in Mexico. So someone drank the water. So she's basic, but she said Nick was so awesome last night and he did the physical work and like of taking care of me. Nick said, I didn't mind. I love her. And Danielle says the fact that he's patient and not upset that I'm ruining a day on our vacation means the world to me.
And they did have sex, as he says, twice. So they have a physical thing. I really think I may regret this. I think they're going to make it. I do not know how long lasting it will be, but I think Danielle realizes, I think it's going to come in the strength of Danielle wanting to do well for herself, and Nick is absolutely gaga for her.
I think Danielle could possibly settle once she decides to get married. I think she could possibly settle in, and then they have kids. Then I think she'll feel like, okay, more secure. Like, he's not going to leave me. He's not going to.
But yeah, y'all, possibly. Danielle is a walking abandonment issue.
Not that those things make it easier, but sometimes people feel like when they hit those benchmarks that they can trust a little bit more.
But Jesus, I cringe every time he says something to her and she goes, well, where were you? Yeah. And it's like, it's every, and all of us it's have had these moments with relationships, but
it's anyway. Going to be really hard in the real world because he's going to go to work. He's going to have work appointments. He's going to have things in life that are happening. Ooh. And she's not going to be able to monitor where he is. Cause already y'all, this is kind of a little bit of what happens in episode 5, but she gets upset when he goes somewhere else on the fucking island and she literally can see where he is.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I think that's the end of this episode, isn't it?
For them. Or is it at the end?
No, maybe it's not.
I think it's at 5. So yeah. Yes, it is. It's the beginning of maybe.
You're right.
It's episode 5. I think that's it for them, right? For this, before the meet and greet? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about Jarrett and Iana.
Yeah. Let's talk about them.
She's like, oh, this height difference. You guys.
So tall.
It's interesting. You can just see the red alert in her eyes. She is so afraid she's going to fuck this up. They've cast these people in like to all the archetypes.
Yeah.
And Iana's afraid that she's not going to be able to trust someone. So, but she's mostly living in fear. But it's a very different kind of fear than Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking about, he got her a Polaroid, but also what Iana is worried about, that she's not going to measure up and she's not going to make him happy. So she has to be effusive with everything. And you're almost like, quit working so hard, honey. He's into you.
I think she's still working on, I think there's that because she's really more of an introvert, she says.
Oh, yeah. You can tell.
With him, she's very, like, she freaks out over this camera. She also mentions that she's fine with, like, cuddling and being physical, but she wants to wait until they're married before they actually have sex.
If she can make it.
She said, but I feel very comfortable with him. And Jarrett is fine with that. Like, he gives her a massage later. He's rubbing her. And he said there's a lot of ways you can be intimate without having sex.
Not familiar.
Yeah, not familiar.
He got naked. Like he took his clothes off and gave her a massage. Or she gave him a massage.
I saw it all and it looks good.
Oh, it's big. You can tell.
No, it's a big dick. It's a big dick.
And is that, he's got a scar, but those are keloids. Those are, I think, right? Do you ever see keloids?
Yes, a lot. It's very common in the black community. It's just with the black melanated skin. So like my partner has some of them. But sometimes it can come from a little scar, or like women will have their ears pierced, basically, or sometimes people get tattoos. Basically, anytime it can be really painful because you can have internal keloids and it can cause, it's basically your skin's just repairing and repairing and repairing.
No, I dated someone who had them. So I'm familiar. Yeah. I just didn't know they went on a scar that much.
They could, yeah. They could like really develop. Yeah, that can be hard to get rid of.
You saw his butt, and he was naked in the shower, y'all. So she's seen his penis.
She's seen his ping, y'all. She's seen his ping. But again, I know I'm not. I think it's actually fine that they're waiting until they have sex. But is she waiting because she wants it to be special, or because she's scared to do it?
Yeah. I think if she has sex, I think her intuition, if it was me, if I was her, number one, this is the honeymoon time. She is shoving that thought of being second to be asked every time he leaves the room.
Also, you would have fucked him in the pod.
Yeah, found a way.
You would have found a way to open that door.
Yep.
Yeah.
But wow, I just don't, someone who is like, Iana's really going to have to do a magic trick on her brain to marry him. That's what I'm saying. That's why I think this one's DOA.
It's going to be a lot. It's fast. I wouldn't have said yes, but she did.
Ugh.
You remember, y'all, because I don't think we can feel sorry for Iana because she agreed to this. She said yes.
I know. I do, because I think she was already into him. And the problem was, it wasn't her inaction. It was completely his feelings towards someone else. Mm-hmm. And you're right that she chose it, but fuck. It's not a situation anyone wants to be in. Yeah. Now, if I was Iana, I'm sure she is trying to be the cool girl. I would say, you're not talking to Mallory. That's what I would say. And I would say, it would make me feel better if you did not talk to Mallory. Because that's what I would have said right before the dinner.
It's weird. It's weird to me that they both aren't talking about it.
Yeah, it is weird. Yeah. But seriously, think about it. Would that not have been your first thing saying, out of respect for me, I know you asked her to marry you first. Can you maybe keep it really casual and not spend a lot of time talking to Mallory?
Or if you do talk to her, you and I should be together.
Yes. And we're going to talk about their meeting, which I had all kinds of problems with. Yes. So let's talk about...
Let's talk about the couple that... Oh, man.
Deep Tea and really, Shake. I know. This really... Because he's such like Tom from Parks and Rec for me. The Aziz Ansari character who is always like, he's into music and he's always like looking for the hottest girl. And he's always talking about the new thing. And she is so happy, y'all. She has no idea of what he's thinking.
I wrote the first thing I wrote for them in this episode was, I cannot believe I love this couple so much. I wrote that in all caps. And boy, my bubble was busted. And she's saying, I'm so excited for us to connect. We have all this time. I want to take it one night at a time. And that's when Shake says, I want to take it one night at a time. He said, I'm apprehensive because y'all, they're in this pool and they're talking and you see his face kind of turn.
Yep. That's when
she's hugging him and you see him just kind of almost looking at the camera like help. And he says, I said all these things to her, like, we're going to get married. We're going to have babies. He said, and now I'm a little bit in my head and y'all,
He's like, he actually says, he the next day, he says, we kept it PG last night. It was, I don't feel that animalistic attraction. He said, even later, I felt I was in bed with my auntie. This is bad for him, y'all.
Because he says, personality wise, this is a 10 out of 10, but yeah, it's just that animalistic attraction.
And y'all, this is someone who doesn't really do emotional intimacy.
No.
He doesn't see intimacy as tied to emotions, and it is purely physical.
And I think it's interesting in that, you know, they both said on the last episode, I think he said that they both kind of denied their own culture. And we're running away from, he said, maybe I'm running away from our culture. So I think he's got some internalized culture things that he needs to work on.
Yeah.
But that said, it's kind of like Mallory and Sal. Like Mallory is gorgeous. Sal is the most beautiful guy there and she's not into him. Deep is gorgeous.
She's gorgeous.
Like physically is beautiful and he's not into her. So that's kind of what I do love about this show is that you would think, well, yeah, why he would totally be into her and these people aren't. That's just not what they're attracted to.
Yeah. And it's, and the question I have is it possible to change that? Can you?
Is, wait.
Is love,
love
blind?
That is, you know, what a good segue. I feel like we should talk about the meet and greet now.
Well, no, we have to talk about Shane and Natalie.
Oh, I forgot about them. Thank you.
No, they're amazing.
They are. I just forgot about them. But yeah, go ahead.
So y'all, they are, Shane is, let me get the first thing I talk about. Yeah, he's eating in bed and she's like, I'm not having it. No one will ever eat in my bed.
I agree. That's fucking gross.
And I don't eat in bed either. It's gross.
He watches TV in bed, which is not what she does. But
I think that's okay. But
I think that's okay. I don't, but that's,
y'all,
that's fine.
The next thing, I don't either. But the next morning, she's like, they're having these cute things that she set three alarms and she's snoozing and they're having fun together. They have a really playful relationship and he can play, but she, anytime things get intimate or get too close to being emotional, she will be mean.
Play.
She'll be sarcastic and dismissive.
I think it's mean. I think it's getting mean because he's told her now, just in these last two, he's told her three times, I don't like it when you talk to me like that. And she keeps on doing it. And even when he does open up, she basically says, she doesn't say it, but she acts like he's stupid for thinking that and that it's fine.
Their communication is not great. I think he's legions ahead of her of trying to say what he needs. And she's Natalie's, not.
Natalie's fucked a lot of bad boys.
She has. I see a lot of myself in her.
Yeah, a lot of bad boys.
I see a lot of myself in Natalie and in Mallory. Those are the people I can see myself in.
I'm not going to plead the fifth on that one. But yes, so... they're talking about how, I lost my place.
They enjoyed each other's company and they fucked, y'all. They fucked.
They fucked, which again, that's not a problem for them. The fucking, and Shane even said, we enjoyed each other. He said, she even threw me some curveballs and I was super into it. And so they have a date where they go sailing. He gets super seasick. And he said, again, She took care of him. Again, y'all, Shane is kind of flipping me on my head because he's like super bro, super dude. But then he said she was taking care of me when I didn't feel good and she was really supportive and I really loved that. And she was asking if I was okay. And they kind of get back on the land and they're sitting there kind of talking about it. He's, you know, they're joking. He's saying no more sailing. And then y'all remember Shane is like, I need validation. I need constant validation, y'all. I think his energy suck. I think it's, like we said, constant. But at least he said that's what he needs.
And what he said he needed. But the thing is, it's not just him saying, I need validation. He is constantly validating her by saying, you're so hot.
So true. He is always talking about how beautiful, how smart.
Yeah.
He's always really, I kind of feel like he's out now that he's out of the pod. He's kind of acting like a great boyfriend.
I can't believe that I like him more because I was so anti Shane.
I was too. He was like the biggest issue. But now that he's out, it's like he told himself, yes, I was interested in Shayna, but I made a commitment. I'm into her. I connect with her because y'all, he actually kind of flipped. He said he's with a girl like Shayna. Sorry, I'm using my hands a lot, like skin to skin. I don't know what. But he actually said, "I have a healthier communication with Natalie." Y'all, that's why he picked Natalie, because she was more into him. And so
he has a lot more emotional intelligence than she does.
That's a good way to put it.
Which is a weird thing to say, thinking about Shane having a lot more emotional intelligence than Natalie, but it's true.
But it's true. And he even says to her while they're talking, she starts to be mean to him. And he said, you know, you joke a lot. He said, and it gets a little old after a while. And sometimes it feels mean. And I went, good for you for saying that. And she just kind of didn't have a response. She was just like,
And what could have happened is she's like, what did I say that made you feel bad?
Yeah.
And but she took it as, why are you feeling that way? She invalidated his feelings. And
she
really
did.
And it's weird because I really like her. I think she's funny, and I think she gets along well with the rest of the girls, but she's really closed off. And so it's going to be interesting to see. That's it for them. Was there anybody else? I think
that's it. Let's talk about the
meet and greet.
Let us.
So y'all, Jarrett sees Mallory out of the corner of his eye. She's really not paying him any attention because part of Mallory says it's best not to. Mallory's got a sixth sense. She's probably pretty witchy about things like that. She knows it's not good to engage. She doesn't want to go back to something because Jarrett represents guys she used to date. She even says that. And
I don't know if she has a sixth sense about it. I don't know if she has. I think you might be giving her too much credit as far as her awareness. I feel like she doesn't want to mess with Jarrett because she doesn't want to. I think she feels shame about her choice.
That could be it. Oh, well, you think she wanted Jarrett?
I think a part of her wishes, I think she realizes for her, she's thinking, I made the wrong choice. What if I made the wrong choice?
Oh, I think she feels shame for rejecting him.
I think she feels stupid, like I should have chose him.
Really?
It's not clear, so we don't know. She hasn't said yet. She hasn't verbalized what she's feeling in this moment. We just see her interacting. But I do think she could be a little bit like, damn, I told myself I was going to like the right guy. I was going to be into the right guy, and I am not into him at all. And I look at Jarrett, and he's gorgeous, and he's telling me the things I want to say. He knows what ring I want. And she is a little bit like, fuck.
So you're saying, but why didn't she go up to him and talk to him, though?
Because remember, we said Mallory and Jarrett are both competitive. We talked about Shane is this way, too, but Mallory's a sports girl. So mm-hmm. I think it's that shame of, like, I lost or I didn't play the game right.
But I don't think she's that. I think she's still in trying to make her relationship work.
I don't think it's like a Shayna villain, like, I think it's just more of some people are competitive by their nature, so competitive they don't even know they're competing.
No,
they don't even know.
I agree. I just feel like this is too convoluted. I'm trying to say that she did not go to him because she knows she had a sixth sense that she shouldn't talk to him because it might involve her in feelings that she doesn't want to have.
Oh, yes, yes. I agree that, yes, because she has feelings for him, yes. Well, yes. I think we're both just saying the same thing. We just said it in different ways.
I don't think she thinks she should have picked him. I don't think she's there.
I don't know. After the conversation, the way she acted, I think she's regretful. I do.
But let's get into that. Let's see. Before we get to that, they're basically...
I mean, there's really not anything else at this party, y'all. Everybody kind of talks and nothing...
Shake does tell Jarrett she's the number one hype girl, but I feel like I'm with my aunt. So he's telling all the men that, which is not great.
He is saying that.
But we can talk. And Danielle's not there because she's sick. That's going to be important later.
And Nick says that.
Jarrett goes up to Mallory, and immediately this is where I felt. This is a violation. He was being way too open with her.
Nick is the one who said, you should go up and talk to her. You owe her that.
Yeah, but you don't go up to her and flirt with her.
So I think, again, you just did this whole thing together. So I think he should have said hi to her, but with Iana, like them together
right. As
a couple. I think he said hi to her. They had their thing and that's it. But also maybe he knows this is a reality show and he wants to make good TV.
But everything he said to her was trying to get her away from her relationship.
Oh, it was everything he said to her was horrible because Jarrett wants to win because he's competitive. Really just went in. It was
how
gross.
Is that winning if he's trying to get her, if he's just trying to distract her from being in her relationship? I'm confused.
No, I think I totally think if Mallory says, If Mallory said, I don't want to be with Sal, I want to be with you, Jarrett would be with her.
He would be. But I'm saying that's not winning. Winning is finishing out with Iyanna.
That's winning to you. I don't know if that's winning to Jarrett, because that's the first person he asked who turned him down.
That's shitty.
But I'm saying, I
question all ethics then. But let me just, I need to say this, because this is not just code, bro code. This is people code to be breaking.
Yeah.
And he's pretty much unredeemable for me after this scene.
I mean, he comes at her hard, because they're like, hey, how are you? And Mallory said, you're just as I imagined. I could see your voice behind the wall. Right. I knew exactly what you looked like. And Jarrett said,
it's fun and flirty. But I will say, it's fun and flirty until Jarrett says.
Well, Jarrett said, I had a dream. Remember the dream? I said,
right.
I dreamt dark, curly hair. And that's exactly what you look like.
Then it's all fun. And then Jarrett says, yo, this is awful. He said, so you're ready to get married?
Well,
yes. What does he think the answer's going to be?
But before that, though, Jarrett came hard for Mallory. I don't think Mallory was an angel in this conversation. Because you got to remember, Mallory said to him, she brought it up. They were talking about three. And after he said, yeah, I dreamt the dark color hair. And she said, I never thought that I was your number one. So if you say, I never thought I was the one for you, if you say that to someone that you now know you were the one, what are you going to get from them? You're going to get validation from them telling you that there were. So it's like she brought that in. And Jarrett said, every time we talked, he said, he jokingly said, who else gave you a nickname?
Like, I just think that's ridiculous, though. I think
acting like she was an innocent kind of victim.
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Went in way harder.
This
but
crossed
I think
the line.
Because, yes.
But to say this, but to say, you know, most men who do sports like this won't make me a priority. Those are my relationships. That is fine to say. But to say, I would have done that, you're done for me.
Well,
that is completely,
I agree.
No.
But, you know, think about it, because I wrote all this down for Brandon because I was just like, oh, glued to it. She was like saying, I feel awkward. And Jarrett said, but Sal is a good one. Jarrett says that. And Mallory responds and looks at him right in the eyes. And she said, you guys are both amazing people. She should have said, thank you. I feel lucky. I agree. So I do feel like she is cracking open this door for him. And that's what the next thing he responded after that was, are you ready to get married?
I think she is
someone who is used to, like, again, I think it's that they're both, I think they both are a lot of the same person. I think they have a lot more in common. And I think they both are competitive. And also I think they both are addicted to drama a little bit.
I just couldn't get over asking. She's like, I knew you wanted a gold ring, blah, blah, blah. And it's just, but none of that is helpful. And if it wouldn't have been for him saying it, none of it would have happened, because she wouldn't have said it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, how does Jarrett redeem himself after, because Iyanna's going to see this. How does Jarrett redeem himself with Iyanna if they stay together after they have this conversation?
No, I don't know. I don't know.
I just, because if I'm, and this is why at the end we saw Sal being very upset, because he saw this conversation happening and he sees, she's like, I know she's not interested.
He's drunk. You can tell Sal is drunk.
Yeah. And also you see Iyanna looking at them too. Because she knows, and Iyanna hasn't said it, but I guarantee you she's going to.
Oh, yeah. You think Iyanna's going to say something to him about it?
Iyanna, you're going to say Iyanna?
I do. I don't know if she is, because I feel like sometimes she is timid in the way she brings up things to him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I hate that for her, because I think she's just going to get taken advantage of that.
I just think this could have been avoided. All of this could have been avoided if if, like you said, if they would have only spoken with them with their significant others. But I blame Jarrett for this mostly because he did it without Iyanna.
Yes, because remember too, like, I mean, I just think they both really just shit the bed on this, because the line that made me, like, it's kind of, it kind of, two things. It kind of gut punched me and made me sad when she said, you know, I'm a guy's girl and that's the kind of guys that I want. And
that I normally go for.
They're the guys that she's telling Jarrett this. Those are the guys I go for, but they don't put me a priority. They don't know how to put me as a priority. And Jarrett said, you know, I would have done that for you. That kind of gutted me because I think they both really are connected to each other.
But it's the shittiest possible thing to say.
I know. But then she looked right back at him and said, you're amazing. And I'm like, I can't help you,
but
girl.
What else is there to say after that?
Not you're amazing to someone who's not going to be your husband. I think they both acted shitty in this.
And I agree that they both did, but I'm saying he started it. If I needed to say he started it.
I disagree. I think they both, I think he went in hard once she helped open. I think they both opened the door and then he really ran in the door and went hard. But I think they both kind of started it.
How is him going up to her not starting it?
Well,
she stayed away.
She did stay away. So I guess that he went up to her. I do think he should have gone up there with Iyanna, or at least talked about, like, hey, Iyanna, I said, so yes. So I guess technically he physically went over and started, but what they said to each other as far as opening Pandora's box when they talked was, both of them.
I think we're going to have to agree to disagree here.
What do y'all think out there, y'all? Regardless, I think one thing we can agree on, it was riveting television to watch.
It was. I just think
my mouth was dropped.
You could not break bro code worse.
Yeah, but remember, she's friends with Iyanna. They spent time together. Like, she's got girl code. And she's flirting with him. Like, I don't know why you're giving her such a pass when she was doing shit too.
No, I totally think she was. I'm saying just the idea of saying those things, I don't think any of it would have ever happened if the door would have been opened.
I don't think she would have gone up to him. No. I don't think that. So, or maybe she would have. I don't know.
That's
the episode. Let us know what you think in the comments, either on Patreon or you can tweet us, Instagram us. Oh, this show is so good. And y'all, I'm telling you now because we already watched it. Episode 5 is even better. You can go to realitygaze.com. That's where you can find everything. Go to our Linktree links. Come see us live. Hey, look, Los Angeles, we'll be at the Regent on February 27th. That will be 2 days after Love is Blind, the finale airs. So if you don't think we're not going to be talking about Love is Blind. Sorry, I had a hiccup.
Did you just have a stroke?
I had a hiccup. If you don't think we're not going to be talking about Love is Blind, you're mistaken. We're going to be talking about this with the ladies from Dateline. So anything else, Poodle? I think that's it.
That's
it. So, all right, everybody. So we're going to hope to see you on the next episode, but remember, keep asking yourself that primal question.
Is love blind?
Love is blind.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.